Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Welcome back on a gorgeous Friday afternoon. It's going to get a little wet this weekend, though. Saturday, Sunday, and even maybe for Monday night football.
Yes.
Some rain.
Mm-hmm.
That's no bueno.
Yep. Love a good rain game. At least it feels like fall again.
True. And we need the rain.
We do. The moisture. No, that's true.
Rain is a good thing.
We need a soaking rain.
Did you just change out?
What's going on?
It's very toasty in here, and I have a screw in my tire.
Really?
Yep, it's a screw. We have a screw, people.
Huh.
Look at the size of that thing.
That's what she said.
Really? Wow.
That's a big screw.
It is a large screw plugged right into my tire. So thank you, Uber, for getting me to work safely. Who just goes around dropping screws?
Who just goes around driving over them?
Wow.
I'm sorry. I'm not Superman. I don't have X-ray vision, Sam.
X-ray vision to find a screw?
At 70 miles an hour on the highway?
When it's laying out there in plain sight, you would not need X-ray vision. You would just need vision.
To see a screw in the road when I'm going 80 miles an hour.
Wow, we just went up 10 miles per hour. On Shawnee Parkway, you're going 80?
I would like you to just go back because this screw would have been inserted sometime around...
And I was just cracking a joke. This got real serious.
8 o'clock last night.
She's offended.
The screw went in. 8 o'clock. And how, pray tell...
How long did it stay?
Am I supposed to know that it's in there?
You're not doing a once around your car before you drive it? Just take a look
at
things?
Do I look like B.F. Goodwrench, Dan? No. I don't do a one every time I get out of my car? No. We went to dinner.
You need to do a safety check.
Give me a break.
Now, it is a good idea to walk around and make sure that everything is good to go before you start driving. Are you just to hop in and press the gas pedal kind of person?
No.
Yes. I mean, that's
how I discovered my windows had been shot out.
Well, that's Dan.
Well, Dan, I don't think you have to do a once around your car.
You didn't have an open air concept before, and then you did. That's easy to spot.
I'm opening my car, and the window's not there.
Uh-huh.
Here's the other deal.
Three of them.
Screw was on the bottom. You could not just see it with the naked eye.
Well, if you rotate the tire, it might be on the top.
Oh, my God. How is this my fault?
I was just making a joke, and this got real serious real fast.
Yeah, I'm a screw dodger on 435.
I apologize for my joke, Dana. I did not intend it to play out this way.
Of all the things that I handle in my life, I'm just telling you right now, screw dodging ain't one of them.
I like how she's turning her anger toward you when I was the one that started all of this.
By you, you mean me.
Dodge a screw. Screws fall out all the time. The world's an imperfect place.
That's right.
It is, and there are so many of us that have dealt with this. It's rather annoying. And, you know, if you find it, you just pull over and change your tire and get back on the road.
With the spare that I don't have.
Oh.
We don't have a spare. Didn't know that.
Yeah, Teslas don't have spares.
Didn't know that until Sam told me today. Sam goes, you don't have a spare. And I go, how do you know that I don't have a spare?
Because it's a Tesla.
None of them do.
What does that even matter?
Because the battery pack takes up too much space.
Oh.
I learned all kinds of things today. I can't dodge screws, and I don't have a spare.
So
if you look
is
for
it
them.
Being towed somewhere?
Yes.
Okay, so that's going to cost you $250.
Well, I get a couple free ones every year through my insurance.
Oh, really?
AAA, yeah, baby.
Well, it's not AAA, but yeah.
I can't read this story without getting political, but suffice it to say, I'll try to do this with apolitically. Roughly 40% of Americans who plan to vote say they would skip sex for months if their preferred candidate won.
Oh, for the love.
Mm-hmm.
Half of America would just be angrier than they already are.
We're assuming that half are regularly partaking in that activity anyway.
Voting?
Not that activity.
No, I think he meant something.
I think the percentages are a little bit lower.
So when are you going to get your car back?
I don't know, Scott. I don't know.
I mean, it takes
Because when
everything that I have had to deal with in the last 6 months, I'm going to tell you this right now. After everything I've had to deal with in the last 6 months, a screw in the tire, I didn't even bat an eyelash today. Okay. Ask anyone around me. I just went, well, I'm not, call Santa Fe tow.
I'm not trying to financially anger you, but the tow will be free.
Correct.
Hopefully the patching will be free. But if there's too much damage to the tire.
Correct.
You can't just buy one.
Do you not remember the last time this happened to me, which was, I don't know, Dan, 6 months ago or something? It was in the shoulder of the tire, which, fun fact, if you run over a screw in the shoulder of your tire, and I missed it by a millimeter, they cannot patch that. It has to be, you have to hit it head on.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you got to nail that sucker head on.
If they can patch it, because I took the Kia in this morning to Goodyear, and they're going to patch it, it's going to cost like $25.
Yeah.
It's nothing. But if they have to replace it, because that is a large screw.
Look at the size of that thing.
That's a big screw, and it looks like it tore the tire up pretty good.
I'm going to tell him, you know what, duct tape it, I don't care.
Wait, it tore the tire up? That means you were driving on it while it was flat.
Sam,
maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe not.
I'll send you a photo. Honestly, I don't know. I refuse to take any responsibility for a screw in my tire. I'm not doing it. How about the person who dropped the screw? Let's go after that person.
Well, if you had X-ray vision...
Yep. Can't run over a screw if no one drops the screw.
Yep. So
nailed it.
No, Sam screwed it.
That was the Tesla pun. One of those kind of cars where you have to replace all four tires?
No.
You wouldn't have to anyway. You would have to replace the front two.
There are cars that do prefer the way the car is designed to have.
You know what? I'm just
fresh tread
Friday.
On all four. If you're gonna have fresh tread,
I'm going to the American Royal with one of my dearest friends.
You always buy a tire and then shave it.
So calm. So calm. The weekend is here.
Get it spinning.
Chiefs are playing on Monday.
Yeah. Oh, that's a big dog. It's also really close to the shoulder. That's a new tire.
Okay, no, it is not, Sam. I know where the shoulder is, and that is not the shoulder.
Are you trying to ruin her life?
Perfect timing on a Friday evening.
I got
the universe.
No, looks like
it's
not.
Pretty low anyway.
I'm telling you right now.
Might
need a
new set no matter what.
Just in a good headspace.
Good. Good. Yep. I'm glad.
Yep. Okay.
Should we drag you by your ankles out of that headspace?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're trying to.
No, I'm not. I'm not doing it.
Leaving claw marks.
You're not going to take the bait?
Here we go. Let's go downtown.
Okay.
One of three men prosecuted in the Hereford House explosion and arson has been released from prison. But he is actually the second of the three to be released for the same reason. From the Kansas City Star, one of the three men prosecuted for the 2008 explosion and arson that destroyed Kansas City's Hereford House restaurant was released from federal prison last week. Mark Sorrentino, who was sentenced to 15 years in prison in 2013, God, it took that long.
Boy, that's
received compassionate release due to a cancer diagnosis, according to his paralegal. Another man who was prosecuted, Hereford House part owner Rodney Anderson, was released from prison last March, according to federal prison records, with Cox adding that he also received a compassionate release for his cancer diagnosis. Vincent Pisciotta, the third man prosecuted, remains in federal prison with a release date of December 2029. So I don't know how much earlier they're getting out because of this, but Vincent is in for another 6 years.
Mm-hmm. 5 years.
For 5 years.
Yeah.
And there were three men on the surveillance, as I recall. It's been a long time, but I covered it at the time. They were literally staring at the surveillance cameras.
I believe it was an insurance. They were trying to get the insurance off the restaurant. If I'm not mistaken, I could be.
What I remember were firefighters at the scene immediately were like, this ain't no accident. Like, it just, right from the get-go.
It was arson.
Smelled like arson.
Yep.
Yes. Sorrentino, Anderson, and Pisciotta were all sentenced to federal prison for conspiring to torch the restaurant for insurance money.
That's right.
All three charged with conspiracy, arson, mail fraud, and using fire to commit a federal crime.
And leaving tons of evidence of them doing it.
Yeah, they did.
Staring right at the camera, and one of them's a part owner.
Sam, one of them knew, to Dana's point, one of them knew that there were surveillance cameras in the restaurant. They didn't even bother to turn them off.
Probably figuring they would just burn away. They had, what, 14 jugs of gasoline?
They did. 14 jugs.
And a lit cigarette oh my or God. Something?
I think that's right, Dan.
Like in
I
a
think
movie?
That's right.
Anderson,
delayed timer.
The one who was the part owner, eventually filed insurance paperwork claiming a $2.4 million loss. He had also filed for personal bankruptcy 4 months after the fire, disclosing he had assets of $1.2 million and debts of $3 million. I mean, this was perhaps the worst executed arson almost in the history of restaurant arson, certainly here. None of them ever testified, by the way. During the testimony, one of the men's ex-wives recalled that he came home early that morning.
Smelling like gasoline.
Smelling strongly of gasoline.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. Dum-dums.
Can we go back to ruining Danny's day real quick?
No.
Yeah.
I do believe your Tesla is all-wheel drive, correct?
No.
You didn't get one of the all-wheel drive models?
I think only two of the tires work.
Are you 100%
certain? 100%
certain. Okay, then you're good. Because if it's all-wheel drive, you got to get four new ones, baby.
Okay. Stop. Back to Hereford House and these morons who burned that place to the ground. And, I mean, it burned to the ground. Two of them have now been released on, what's it called?
Compassionate release.
Yeah, okay. Do you have a problem with that?
Do I have a problem with it? I would have a problem with it if I was Vincent, the third man who remains in federal prison.
Kind of wishing you would get sick?
Yeah, I mean, Vincent's probably like, really?
913-586-7798, 586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie the Third. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. So we reported yesterday that a number of Applebee's locations closed in the Kansas City area the other night. There are two that are still open.
Abruptly.
Blue Springs and one other location. I think it's Lee Summit. I can't recall, so don't hold me to that. But this story from Fox 4 says now employees are searching for new jobs. One store manager telling Fox 4 that each store has at least 20 employees who are now out of work and wondering if they'll ever get paid. The six Applebee's locations that have locked up for good were owned by local franchisee Apple Central Kansas City. Fox 4 has received a bankruptcy filing that spells the end for a half dozen restaurants. Quoting here from Erica Woolery, who is a former shift leader and a bartender at the Applebee's in Olathe, I immediately called my general manager and said, tell me this isn't true. Woolery said she's worked for Applebee's for 5 years and has spent time on staff at five different locations. It's heartbreaking. It really is, she says. I'm on the hunt for a new job, and I didn't expect to be. I recently got engaged, and now I have to push my wedding plans back. Former restaurant staffers like Lainey Mahoney, who is also a bartender at the Applebee's store where Woolery worked, said some employees have not been paid. A spokesperson for Apple Central said instructions have been sent to former staffers through a company email portal. However, Woolery and Mahoney both said they're already locked out of their messages, and they believe others are as well. I mean, what do you do when you work for a company that goes bankrupt?
But how many Applebee's are there across the country still in operation?
Oh, I would imagine hundreds.
Right. So there's two here, and there's like, let's say there's 1,000 around the country, whatever.
Okay.
The corporations still exist to pay the workers.
But these are franchisees.
1,536 total Applebee's, although this was as of
and
April,
they are
so make
all
that 1,528.
Individually owned and operated?
Well, I don't know if they're all franchised, but the six that closed were. I mean, why would Applebee's corporate say, yeah, we'll pay them. Where's our money? You were a franchise of ours, and you probably haven't paid us our franchise fee, and you want us to step in and pay your employees? No, thank you. I mean, because when you're a franchisee, you're basically paying just for the name.
Yeah, you pay a percentage to corporate. You're a separate entity paying a percentage for the brand.
That is just awful. And holidays are coming up.
I feel bad for them. Well, that one lady is getting married, has to push her wedding plans back. The artist who sculpted Dwayne Wade is now breaking silence. One of the sculptors of Dwayne Wade's new Miami Heat statue said critics might have misunderstood the bronze creation. Oscar Leon, who sculpted the statue alongside Amri Amrani, directly address negative reactions, including many that believe it looks nothing like the Miami Heat legend. Quote, to the critics, there's a lot that needs to be understood. We have to seal everything to keep the integrity of the sculpture. However, that does create a funny little side effect of being glossy in areas that we are not used to seeing.
It creates a funny little side effect of the person looking nothing like the likeness in the sculpture.
The sealer definitely creates a little bit of a misunderstanding to the eye. So I would definitely encourage everyone to come to Miami and view it in person. No, thank you.
We fully understand it looks nothing like him. Also, I did see videos of him approving the design prior to the bronze version.
So he thought it looked like him?
I guess so.
And nobody thinks it looks like him.
I know.
Like, when I say nobody, I mean nobody.
Yeah.
Wade's statue, which the Heat unveiled in front of their stadium on Sunday, was first made with clay before it was coated in bronze. Yeah, you're right. It says here, Wade, who previously said he was heavily involved in the making of the statue, chose an iconic moment from his Heat career that the statue commemorates. It was his "This Is My House" when they were playing the Bulls back in 2009.
Right, except for it looks nothing like him.
Leon told NBC News it started with a collection of photos of Wade that were turned into a clay model, and then computers assisted in designing the statue.
Okay, maybe this is why we still go back to actual artistry. Not that he's not an artist, but if maybe when it comes to art, we keep technology out of art.
Yeah, is it art if a computer makes it?
I don't know that a computer made it, but a computer was instrumental in the...
Well, it says here, computers assisted in designing the statue.
Yeah, in the design. And doesn't that just say to you that sometimes art should just be art?
Yes.
I mean, what happened to the real artists of, like, bygone millennia where they took a giant brick of stone and carved
the statue of David?
Yeah. I think those artists still exist. That's what I'm saying. Where I wonder if we would even be talking about this if a computer never entered the conversation. And I bet you the answer is no.
Well, at some point after the computer has entered the conversation, do you not look at the statue and go, we're going to need a little bit more time. We're starting over. We're going back to square one.
I don't know. This was made out of bronze. Is that?
It was made out of clay and then cast in bronze.
Okay. So would there be any way to, you know,
cut the head off the statue?
I hate to say the word. I don't want to use the word decapitate, but
yes, you can decapitate it and redo the head
and recapitate it. Because the rest of, thank you, Sam.
Wow.
The rest of the sculpture is
no.
beautiful. I want it recapitated.
The rest of the statue looks like a basketball
player. Maybe just capitated. That you just capitate it.
Well, if you decapitate it, then you have to recapitate it. If it never had a head, it's capitated.
Fair enough. See, that's one of those 20 billion words we were just talking about. You're
what
welcome.
What the hell?
We don't often use the word capitate because we don't often give heads to things.
What in the name of Sam Hill?
You know we're right.
Just came out of both of your mouths.
Was that some special candy in the newsroom?
Where did you trick or treat last night?
Hello.
We have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. It is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. We're about an hour and a half away from Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances that is brought to you by Q39. Sam, you work out quite a bit.
I do.
Story here from the New York Post. Experts say getting a little less dressed for your workouts can have some major benefits for your body, but it's less about flaunting your curves than your arches.
I was going to say, have you seen some of the outfits that people work out in these days? Good God.
especially the girls. You may have noticed the person lifting weights next to you at the gym is not wearing shoes.
Oh, come on.
Or maybe you've swiped past a fitness trainer on TikTok squatting barefoot.
Gross.
It is not just a post-lockdown make-yourself-at-home kind of habit. Plenty of podiatrists, trainers, and even orthopedic surgeons say there are upsides of working out without footwear.
Pardon me for sounding like a super hippie. Our feet were not built to have shoes on them. And in fact, a lot of people that have flat foot problems, flat-footed problems, mm-hmm. it's because they've been wearing shoes that crowd their feet too much, so their arches cannot prevail.
Wow, thank you, Dr. Scholes.
You're welcome.
From Nick Clayton, who is a personal training program manager, going barefoot offers a number of benefits for balance, mobility, and coordination.
That's just gross.
It provides feedback to your nervous system, helping to activate your glutes and core to improve stability.
So I only work out. I mean, obviously, I play pickleball in, like, activewear shoes. Okay. But I only work out in flat, no-sole shoes, like Vans or
okay.
Chuck Taylors.
Just not wearing shoes at the gym grosses me out, because then your feet are on a disgusting gym mat floor, and then your feet are...
It's well, you gross keep your socks you, on.
But that's still gross. Do you know how filthy that floor has to be? That's just gross.
You're one who doesn't take your shoes off at home.
True.
So how filthy, if you're out in public, like this room...
Oh, I don't want to know.
No. I guarantee you that prior to the cleaning crew coming through this morning and vacuuming, I guarantee you, and it's a new cleaning crew and they're great, I guarantee you this studio had not been vacuumed since probably 2015. And every day you stand in this room and your side of the room is dirtier than mine because you do stunts over there every once in a while and stuff falls on the floor. And then you go home and you walk into your place with those same shoes on. How dirty is your floor?
I don't know. I've never thought about it that way.
That's why I have the take your shoes off rule at my house.
Well, you have weird serial killer booties at your house.
That's only for when you come over.
Gotta keep the blood off.
Right?
That's right.
But it helps with ankle mobility, hip mobility, the whole nine. If you're going to be doing anything where you're squatting or working with those joints, barefoot is always better. Ugh. Just don't drop the weights on your toes.
All right. Carnival Cruise Lines is taking a big step to cut down not only problem drinkers, but others who partake in other mind-altering activities. Mm.
Psychedelic, man.
Fights are rare on a cruise ship, this says, but when they happen, they instantly go viral. And that's not the image Carnival wants to put forward. You know, they're supposed to be the fun ship for families,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So it wants people to have a good time. And that can include alcoholic beverages, this says. But Carnival now wants to make clear that there are limits moving forward. The cruise line has a limit on alcoholic beverages. A cruiser can buy only 15 of them each day. That limit applies both to people paying as they go and those who buy the Cheers drink package.
Passage- Which would be the unlimited booze.
Right. That's supposed to be unlimited. So unlimited really means 15 a day. Passenger use, however.
That's quite a bit.
That is a lot.
Can go higher, with some people finding clever ways to get around the limit. Beer buckets and bottles of wine can be used to get around the limit, and the cruise line can't track the drinks a passenger gets while they are in port.
Is that 15 doubles or 15 singles?
It does not say, but that is a lot in one day.
Can I get a triple?
Last year, Carnival decided to take steps to keep marijuana off its ships by using drug-sniffing dogs. The dogs are not placed on every ship, but the idea of them and not knowing when they would be used was brought on to hopefully deter that.
What if we're launching from a state where marijuana is legal?
It says if you are caught on board with marijuana or even CBD, give me a break, you could be kicked
CBD
off the ship or banned for life. I know it. That is true, Scott, even if you have a prescription in a state that has legalized cannabis because the cruise line follows federal law.
Okay.
Good
wow.
Lord.
CBD? Are you kidding me?
Now, as somebody who used to be a professional drinker, 15 drinks in a day would be my minimum. But there are ways around it. You just get somebody else to get the rest of your drink, somebody who's not an alcoholic.
You ain't getting my 15.
You can also go to the liquor store on the boat and buy bottles.
Well,
I don't know
that
from experience.
They track that,
they have
though,
liquor
Sam.
Stores?
They track that. It's cashless, right? It just goes on your cabin number. It's been years since I've been on a cruise.
I've been on one cruise in my entire life, and it was a small cruise boat or cruise ship.
I went on one Alaskan cruise, and I was too young to drink, but I went on one cruise for my graduation, and yes, they will sell you an entire bottle of liquor in the liquor store on the ship.
I didn't even know they had a liquor store.
Huh?
It was not a good decision.
I'm glad we brought that up, if for no other reason than CBD.
That's not even a drug.
Counts and could get you kicked off. Do you know how much stuff CBD is in now? You can get it in, I've got lavender oil that I put on my hands every single night. I personally don't think it does. I just like the smell of the lavender. I don't think as a topical, I go, when I put it on, I don't.
From the text line, ask me how I know about Carnival's drug sniffing dogs. Do tell.
Oh, somebody gets sniffed out. And I assume they can sniff edibles and
coral for sure. Definitely not edibles.
I didn't know it was illegal.
It's not illegal. It's frowned upon.
It was illegal.
Thanks a lot, Bin Laden.
If I can't bring pot, I ain't going. Okay, Dexter.
Simmer down.
I don't know. Pot on a cruise ship, I'm going to be honest, the smell. And you are just shoved in those tiny little cabins. Well,
presumably, they're smoking it either on deck or on their balcony.
Oh, I don't want to smell that on deck either. I hate that smell.
What if they were on the back of the boat and the wind's blowing it out?
I'm not a prude. I just wouldn't want to go on a floating weed ship where everything smelled like that.
It's windy.
Hate that skunk smell.
I'll tell you this. It really is amazing to me what's the word I'm looking for? Uncaring people are about their pot usage these days. And I don't know if it's because it's becoming more and more legal state by state. I was walking out of a very well-known gas station a couple months ago, and there was a gal walking in, and I held the door open for her, right? And I had exited the store, and then I noticed she was coming. And so, you know, I'm not going to let the door close in front of her, so I held it open. She walked within less than a foot of me as she passed me to go in and said, thank you. She smelled like a dispensary.
Like reeked.
I mean, reeked of marijuana. And I was like, damn, I thought I just got out of a Pink Floyd concert. I mean, they don't even care anymore. She didn't even try to put on some Dove spray or something like that.
Well, it didn't even matter before it was legalized.
No, but now they really don't care.
People would come into the gas station. I'd be like, that's some good stuff you got in your pocket. And they'd be like, how could you tell? I'm like, everybody can tell.
You reek. We were talking about Applebee's a little while ago and how they were closing a bunch of stores here in town. Wendy's is now closing 140 restaurants in the coming months nationwide, they announced this week. But the company said it would open an equal number of new locations in areas it believes can generate better business.
This feels concerning. This is like the fourth business in the last 2 weeks that has had a massive closure.
I know, but Wendy's? Mm-hmm. The closure rate for the Wendy's and McDonald's set has got to be incredibly low.
What was the other one this week?
I mean, did we lose the Wendy's in Mission down here?
Okay, so the one that ruined your life.
Yeah.
It does not exist any longer.
I loved that Wendy's. Well, except for the one day. Went through and tried to get a Diet Coke and transaction
wasn't
denied.
Wasn't the Wendy's fault.
Transaction denied. That is still one of the most mortifying things that has ever happened in my entire life.
For newer listeners, tell everybody what this was.
I'd rather not repeat it.
This was more than 11 years ago. You had just started on the show. Tell everybody what happened at the Wendy's over here in Michigan.
I think it was 13 years ago.
Well, it might have
been. When I drove through to get a Diet Coke.
You had just started here on the show.
Got up to that window and they swiped my bank card.
All you ordered was a Diet Coke.
That was it. Which, what are they, $2, Sam, at that point? I mean, I don't know, around $2. Yeah.
Well, 11 years ago, it was probably 99 cents.
I mean, it was north of that because it was one of those gigantic vats of Diet Coke from Wendy's. But yes, that transaction was declined.
You handed the woman. No, you're not telling the story right. So I'm going to do it. So they handed her the Diet Coke. She hands the lady at the window her card. The lady swipes it, says, transaction's been denied. Dana says, swipe it again. Come on. I got $1.75 in my account. The lady swipes it again, transaction denied, hands Dana her card back, and then reached out the window.
Takes the Diet Coke back.
And took the Diet Coke back.
So good.
It couldn't have been worth 25 cents with the cup included.
And you know what she did with that Diet Coke?
Yeah,
Threw it away.
No, I know they did. But at that point, I wouldn't give it. Let me scrounge for some change under my car that I also can't afford right now. I mean, that was a snapshot of Dana's life that I do not care to go back and examine. That was a rough couple months.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Phone number is 913-586-7798. Festivus Friday coming your way in just over an hour from now. It is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com. Rachel in Smithville. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, so I was calling in on your guys' carnival drink package thing that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. I took a cruise back in March from Galveston to Mexico. Anyone over the age of 21 can bring on one bottle of wine per person. That does not count towards your drink package limit. Purchased drinks do count. If you get like a double shot of whatever, it counts as two drinks. And if you buy alcohol in port, they actually confiscate it until you get back to your home port destination, and then you get it back when you get off the ship. And there were actually people on the ship who had gotten on with marijuana vapes, and the smell was rancid. Ugh. On the smoking decks.
Yep, I would not want that smell on the deck, Rachel. And I will tell you this, I forgot until you just mentioned it. When you hop off to go in port or out of port to go whatever touristy things, they x-ray your bags when you come back. There is an x-ray machine.
In case you bought marijuana
on the
booze?
Ship, as you are re-entering your ship to now go sail on to the next port in Alaska or whatever.
It's like airline security.
It's an airline security machine. It looks exactly like the airline security machine. And I just threw my backpack down, and sure enough, I had bought a bottle of wine, and they're like, no, we have to keep this here. And they didn't confiscate it. What they said was, we're going to keep this for you, and then at the end of your cruise, you can have it back, like a child.
Kind of like if you bought duty free at the airport.
Yes.
Now,
yeah.
They also would grab every single water bottle and shake it.
Oh, to see if it
bubbled or not.
Huh? Oh, to see if it's been opened.
Well, no, because if it bubbles, it's vodka.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Or if it doesn't bubble, one of the two.
They're like the parents of a teenager.
But you can't fault them for wanting to x-ray something when you're coming back on, because if you're a ne'er-do-well, if you're a terrorist, and your goal is to blow up a cruise ship, you would just, because I'm assuming before you board initially,
they import, x-ray everything. Yep.
It's like getting on a plane.
Yep.
And so if you're a ne'er-do-well, all you do is tell your buddies to meet you at the first place where the ship is going to port. And if they weren't to x-ray, then you walk onto the ship with a bomb.
Yeah,
or
so
a
they
drug
have to
mule.
Do it. But I'm telling you.
Or a drug mule, yeah.
And I'm sure that they, are there to catch you if you have a machete or something. But make no mistake, they want to make their money, and they make their money on the alcohol. They don't want you bringing alcohol back onto that ship.
Then why limit you to 15 drinks? And I'm not saying
I'm not saying
that 15 drinks isn't a lot. It is a lot.
Yeah, why 15? Why not 12?
Well, for a normal drinker, that is a lot of alcohol. For a problem drinker, it's not.
Well, it depends. If it's a day at sea, a lot of people start drinking at
9 o'clock in the morning.
And 15 drinks is not very many when you start drinking at 9 o'clock in the morning.
That's one per hour until it's night-night time. Karen
at 7 p.m.
Yep. Karen in Denison. Hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
Thanks for talking about the bomb, Scott. I'm going on the cruise next week.
Well, what I'm saying is I think you're going to be safe.
Oh, I know, but I just never thought about the bomb. Sorry about my dog.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same as the other lady, other than on that Cheers package, you can also get like the vitamin drinks or the vitamin water and that specialty stuff like that. And I think how they do it is they take the amount of money they charge you, which is outrageous, and then divide it by what the average of a drink costs, and I think that's how they came up with 15. And the fun thing you need to know, too, when you're buying a drink on a cruise ship, if you don't have that package, they'll bring you your little thing to sign, and they'll have 18% tip line for you to put stuff in. But right above it, it says 18. It puts in its own 18% tip too. So they'd get a double. They'd get a 36% tip.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mind that tip line, Karen, and have fun on your cruise.
Yeah.
Be safe. Okay.
Yeah, I enjoy talking to you guys.
We enjoyed it as well. Thank you very much. Let me ask you something. I've been on one, and we went to the U.S. and British Virgin Islands, and it was fine, but we got a lot of land time. What's the benefit? What's the pleasure in being on a cruise?
The water, for me, is certainly an enormous source of calm. And
you can go to the beach and get that.
Yeah, I think there are people who like the convenience of just being on a floating restaurant.
Now, it was pretty cool to get to see three or four different places in the Bahamas when I went on my Bahamas cruise. I will say that I would much rather just go to one of those destinations and stay there for a week rather than have 4 days at sea and only 3 days checking out islands.
The one cruise I did that I would, would strongly suggest you cruise there.
Hawaii.
The first time you go is Hawaii. And then you go back and pick what your favorite was, like Sam said, because there's, for most people, there's no way, unless you're private plane hopping, that you're going to get to see all the islands.
Right.
The cruise to every island, I loved that, and I'm not a big cruise fan.
Did you go to the Big Island?
We started at the Big Island, and
Oahu,
then you went to
Maui,
Kona, all of them. And Maui, by the way, was my least favorite. That's going to be different for everybody. Maui was my least favorite. And you're still in paradise, don't get me wrong. But I liked Kona and Kauai way better, and if I ever went back, I would not spend time in Maui.
So, but when you go on like a Hawaiian cruise, do you get enough time on land that you could go to a beach?
Oh yeah,
because you're
oh yeah, we golf. You get a couple days
when you dock the boat. You're in port, which I'm assuming you would have to walk or take a cab or something to a beach.
It's usually like 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. type of thing. You have all day.
And they do tell you, your butt better be back on that boat when we leave.
Oh, and they'll sound a warning.
They do. They say, we are not waiting. We are not coming back. And it is on you to figure out how to get back home.
Now, the cruise you should do is Alaska. You can go into the fjords.
The fjords.
That's right.
It's about the romanticism of traveling to exotic ports. That is the root of the whole cruise thing.
I don't have anything against it. It just doesn't sound like it's something for me. News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes. We have Festivus Friday coming up in 1 hour. It is brought to you by Q39.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.